Chapter 34, Pieces. It wasn't until the new year that I felt confident in reaching out to Antonio beyond Facebook friends, which certainly meant risking rejection. A few months earlier, I had tried sending a couple messages through Messenger, but it appeared that he never received them. In September, I had posted on his timeline, "Happy birthday, Antonio. Please check your messages." But nothing happened. By the end of the year, I concluded he must have abandoned his Facebook page. I have collected many pieces of information about Antonio. All told, he has lived in 4 countries and multiple states. Other pieces include his many published books, mentions in other people's books, his dissertations, and his LinkedIn page. It seems we had something in common, that we both had many passions and interests and worked in multiple industries during our career trajectory. Many years ago, I heard Emily Wapnick's TED Talk, where I first learned of the term multi-potentialite. In the talk, she asked the audience if the following question ever caused them anxiety. What do you want to be when you grow up? She goes on to say that she felt there was something wrong with her for not wanting to do one thing. She wanted to do everything and would become passionately consumed by multiple areas, master them, become bored, and move on to the next challenge. I felt a sense of relief upon hearing that there was other people out there like me. One of my favorite pieces of research were 2 detailed requests authored by Tony, my brother, posted at a caregiving website where he describes what Antonio's companionship needs were, down to the card games he liked to play. One part caught my attention. Quote, "He likes his caregiver to not be on their phone while watching Netflix with him so the two of them can discuss the show." On one internet search, I found Antonio's wine reviews. It appears he liked red wine based on his purchases. And then my biggest find, a recent obituary of my brother's mother, Jean. Reading about Jean, I became instantly aware of the bad timing of my discovery. Jean had a serious progressive disease and died a little more than a month after the Uribe family became aware of my existence. Although a tremendous loss, I could not help but smile at the carefully written description of the strong, independent woman who loved to travel. Jean had been widowed after her first marriage to the love of her life, had 2 sons, and then met Antonio sometime after her first husband died in 1963. I wondered if Antonio fit into the stereotypical machismo Latin man who may have seen her as a second-class citizen. Older than Antonio and already through college when she met him, I could not help but wonder if his relationship with Leela was just a brief distraction or maybe a final hurrah before he settled down. Did Jean know Leela? Did Leela know Jean? When pondering the possibilities, the song "Hey 19" by Steely Dan plays often in my head. In the song, the narrator is looking back on his college days during the 1960s, where he refers to himself as a dandy. He talks about how easy it is with all these sweet things around, drinking tequila and doing drugs. The song really stresses how little he had in common with these young women, pointing out that they can't dance or even talk at all. Whenever I hear it, I think of my birth parents, 2 opposites from different worlds. Had you not known Antonio's ex-wife, you would have believed from the way her obituary read that she was married only 1 time. It appeared that Jean's sister, the author of the obituary, had edited out Jean's second marriage to Antonio. It was written as if from 1963, the year her first husband died, that she was a savvy single parent, and maybe she felt like one while married to Antonio. I could not help but wonder what must have happened for Antonio to be erased from the story. And then it dawned on me, Leela too wanted to erase Antonio from the story. 2 women who seemingly regretted knowing him. Had I not been determined to discover his identity, he may have been erased permanently from my story as well. But even with the many pieces I had collected, there were still too many unanswered questions. I needed to go directly to the source. I needed to reach out to Antonio again. I decided to send him a letter in January at the address of his nonprofit, suspecting it was his home address. I checked Google Earth, and it appeared to be a residence. I sent the letter regular mail and posted a picture of the letter in the search room. In the letter, I told him who I was and how I discovered his identity, sharing about the DNA match. I focused on my interest in hearing about his growing up years in Cajamarca, his many travels, his teaching, and anything else he wanted to share. One day, my sister sent me Antonio's phone number. I dialed the number before I had a chance to talk myself out of it. Squeezing my eyes closed and holding my breath, I heard the phone ring. "Hello?" Antonio answered. "It's him, it's him. Hi, this is Lynn calling from Dayton, Ohio in the USA. Silence. "Hello? Hello there." It was now a woman on the phone. I repeated my introduction a second time. There was a pause. I am Antonio's daughter. I sent him a letter 3 months ago. Who is your mother? She pried. I would rather not say. Is this Antonio's nurse? I am his caregiver, she corrected. I could tell she was slightly uncomfortable being put in the middle, so I tried to lighten the mood. This is kind of awkward, isn't it? She softly laughed and asked if she could leave him a message. Yes, please tell Antonio I called and that I am in touch with his daughter. I gave her my phone number. She promised to pass along the message, and we said our goodbyes. The caregiver mentioned during the phone call that my brother was sitting right there. I began to wonder if it was Tony who dictated the question about the identity of my mother. Maybe this has happened before. Maybe he can't keep these mothers straight. During an online chat a few days later with my sister, my suspicions were spot on. She dropped a new bomb. There are two more brothers out there. My mom has a picture of one of them. Two more ghosts, more missing pieces. I wonder what their names are and which country they live in. As adoptees, we get bits and pieces of truth, but many of us never get a consistent story about our beginnings. Some of us never get acknowledgement or any story at all from the mouths of our birth parents. This is our fate, it seems, to walk the earth collecting little puzzle pieces and crumbs others may or may not want to throw our way. Piece by piece, I am gaining a sense of myself as a whole person. Every little nugget, every new discovery helps me get there.